Hello, I'm Alan Collins. I'm the partner who heads up the abuse team at Hugh James Solicitors, and I bring you this latest podcast. Normally, it's a team effort, but my colleagues are away on the road at the moment, dealing with cases, representing clients, and so you are going to have to make do with me with this latest edition. So what we're going to be discussing in this podcast, or what I'm going to be talking about in this podcast, is a startling media headline about youngsters, children as young as three, being embroiled in online sexual abuse through the use of mobile phones, technology, etc., being used for the purposes of sexual exploitation. Staggering, upsetting, troubling. So if you are likely to be upset, troubled in any way by the content of this podcast, now is the time to switch off and go and do something else. Otherwise, please do stay with me. I'm going to avoid going into gory details because that's unnecessary and it's troubling. And to be entirely frank, I can't get my head round the subject. It beggars belief. But in these podcasts, we try and discuss the difficult, the seemingly impossible, the unpleasant, in order that maybe something will be learned for the better. So anyway, Internet Watch Foundation published a report, and very in-depth report by the looks of it. And from what one reads, it is basically confirming, I think, what lots of others have understood, which is that the very, very young are being embroiled in sexual exploitation. How have we got here, and what can we do about it? Go to the Internet Watch Foundation's report, and you can see for yourself how they have been inundated with concerns and inquiries. And as I said, the very young are being caught up in what is going on. Maybe I'm being naive, or maybe I do not understand the problem or the extent of the problem. The fact is, I think it's not just an issue for law enforcement and government, or those responsible for social media. It is a matter for all of us as individuals and society. Government can lay down the laws in order to try and ensure that we have some kind of civilized society. It sets down the parameters, you know, the tracks that we're meant to go down as lawful, civilized citizens. So big role for government when it comes to law and law enforcement, which brings us on to the police and law enforcement, because you know the criminals behind all of this have to be caught and prosecuted and punished. And I think we have to accept that there is an industry often behind what is going on. I know we struggle to understand how and why, but that's the reality of it. And there is a crossover with other areas of crime, drugs, county lines, and so on. The tentacles go far and wide, and it's very difficult for us to understand all of that, but that is the reality. We're not just dealing with one-off situations. We're dealing with multiple situations involving multiple players and individuals and so on, because there is a demand for the sexual exploitation of children, and there are those who think they can make money, big money, out of it. Same as drugs, I suppose. Anyway, I think we all have to step back and look at this objectively and ask the question, well, how is it that such young children have access to this technology in the first place? So government could say, not allowed, but government can't be in every home. The police can't be in every home monitoring what's going on. As adults, we all have responsibilities don't we? You know, is it right that such young children should have access to this technology? How are they getting it? And why would you want these young children to have access to, mobile phones, iPhones, whatever it happens to be that is being used to enable them to get caught up in this heinous world of sexual exploitation? As I said, maybe I'm being naive or missing the point, but I think as individuals, we should be saying, well, hang on a minute. What are these? How have these youngsters got these devices in the first place? And who is allowing this? How's it happening? So we have in previous podcasts had guests on who know a lot more about all of the issues than I do. And one of the common themes is education. It's educating people and society generally to understand what is going on, what to look out for, to appreciate the risks. And of course, that is extremely invaluable and necessary. Big question, is it happening? Doesn't seem like it, does it? Otherwise, we wouldn't be having these ghastly headlines about such young kids as free getting caught up in all of this. I think it's not just us as individuals and society generally who've got a responsibility here, but also the media. We've spoken in previous podcasts about the role of mainstream media. We've spoken about the impact of mainstream media on people's behaviour, and in particular, the behaviour of young people. And we cited an example of a mainstream television series that was aimed at, I think, late teens, young people in their 20s, attractive people having nice lifestyles that the vast majority of people could only dream of. But these attractive people were, as part of the story, having on tap sexual experiences and all portrayed as healthy, great, isn't this wonderful, isn't this what you should aspire to, and so on. And what was very apparent is the use of social media to meet attractive young people and have a great time. Of course, that is seen, viewed, and seen as great, attractive, and normal. This is the way it is. This is the way you would like to lead your life, wouldn't you? And of course, that just feeds down, doesn't it, into the minds of impressionable young people, all young people, you know. So I think you need to, or we need to, step back and look at what we're doing objectively. And it doesn't need to be finger pointing or puritanical or censorious or anything like that, or judgmental. I think it's a case of, well, what are we doing here? What kind of messages are we conveying with what we as responsible adults are doing? Some reports, suggest that youngsters are more savvy than we give them credit for. Wouldn't necessarily dispute that, but that doesn't divorce us from the reality of what is going on, and something is going on that is clearly wrong, very wrong, and it's just going to cause yet more misery and trouble in the coming years unless we face up to it. So I don't pretend to be, someone with all the answers, whatever, but I think what I have learned, if anything, is to step back and listen, because you do see, when you're talking to survivors, how things have come about and how important it is to listen to survivors of abuse to try and prevent history from repeating itself. And survivors often come forward in order to try and prevent what happened to them happening to others, which is humbling, of course, but that doesn't detract from the point that we need to listen and we need to learn and we need to understand, because this, report from the Internet Watch Foundation is basically banging the drum on what we've already heard, and I fear we're not facing up to. It's not just down to government and law enforcement. It's down to society to think, well, you know, what is the direction of travel? Do we really want this to be happening? And I suspect 99.999% of the population would say no, and we need to do something about it. So thank you for listening to me. I hope that my thoughts may have been of some interest. As I said, I may be missing the point. I may be completely naive about all of this. So if you think I am, then try and put me right and we can pick it up in another podcast. So as always, if you have concerns, questions, please do get in touch with us. So it's goodbye from me, and please do tune into the next podcast when hopefully we will be joined by my esteemed colleagues. So it's goodbye from me.